give it up for the one and only Tyler Thunderbirds Selleck Thomas.
All right. Let's get this over with. No, I'm super excited to be here. Normally, I'm like jumping up on the stage, and I'm like, go to camp, and because I've never been to camp, or, hey, we're going to play this game right now, but I get to be a little serious right now as well. I'm not going to be as serious as Eric. He killed it. Come on, give it up for Eric. Oh, man, following that up. And Maddie, too, that was, ooh, if I could do that when I was 16, Maddie, Eric, you guys are, where you guys are at in life, that is incredible to me, and I feel so privileged to share the stage here with you guys tonight, because some awesome stuff going on. Hey, just really quickly tell you a couple things about me. I'm kind of one of the newer leaders here, and by newer, I mean I've been here for about a year now. I didn't grow up in this church. I grew up in another church with my family, but I love it here. I love the passion and the excitement you guys bring every Wednesday night. It's awesome. I'm super looking forward. This will be my first summer going to camp. It's going to be awesome. So if you're not going to camp, come with me for the first time. It's going to be a blast. So if you have your Bibles, anybody have their Bible? Does anybody have their Bible app? Yeah, pull that out too, because that'll work. We're going to dive into a couple of scriptures here. We're going to start in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, so you can flip there. And then put your finger there, because we're going to also jump to 1 Peter 1. So put your finger on Ephesians 2, and then let's flip over to 1 Peter 1. And hold your finger there, too, because we're going to go back to Ephesians. So, I'm going to start in Ephesians 2, and we'll start at verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now flip back to 1 Peter 1:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received it. I want to talk tonight, if you're taking notes, I want to talk tonight on the idea of learning to see ourselves as God sees us. And then you can put a little dash, because that's what it is. And this is my fun title, which is, you are a cool toy. You are a cool toy. A little bit about me. Actually, you know what? Let's pray first. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. Father God, we thank you for this time together that we could come, we could learn, we could experience and grow. I pray that as you bring us forward through tonight and tomorrow morning and the days to come and the weeks and the months and the years, that you would show us who you are to ourselves and you would allow us to see ourselves as you see us. God, we thank you for this time together tonight. We pray for all this in your name. Amen. So I am obsessed with a lot of things. I'm obsessed with my wife. I'm obsessed with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm obsessed with coffee. If you're not there yet, it's okay. It took me till I was 18 to start drinking coffee. I am obsessed with sports. I love watching sports. It's what I would do every day if I could stay home from work. I love watching sports. Seattle sports, anything outside. I think LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time. Changed my mind. And the big unhealthy obsession that I have in my life is I love, love, love Disney. I am obsessed with Disney. It can be Disney movies, Disney TV, theme parks, Marvel, Star Wars. I don't care. I'm probably watching it, know more about it than you do. So there's a new Disney movie coming out this week, for those of you who are aware. Very excited about this one. The first movie came out when I was 2 years old. The last one came out 9 years ago. Coming out this Friday, Toy Story 4. I had some friends who went to a pre-screening last night. They said it was awesome. It's going to be great. Make sure you go see it. But, yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything. But but I first started experiencing Toy Story when I was 2.5. I was almost 3 years old when it came out in 1995. And I remember the first time I saw Toy Story when I was I just turned 3, and I loved it. I got the Buzz Lightyear bed sheets. I was Woody for one Halloween, and then I said, this is stupid. So then I was Buzz Lightyear the next Halloween, and then for the following 2 Halloweens, I was also Buzz Lightyear, and then I took a break for 1 year and then went back to Buzz Lightyear, and my mom finally said, you have to quit it with the Buzz Lightyear. I loved it, and looking back now, it's an incredible movie to look at from an adult perspective. 3-year-old Tyler didn't care about the themes of friendship and community and learning to adapt to change. Like, oh my gosh. He didn't care about that. He was all about the lasers and the flying out the window and going to Pizza Planet. Oh, that was the life. So now when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, what an incredible movie. Like, so far beyond its years in terms of, like, design and storytelling and everything. But my favorite piece of that movie is the relationship between Woody and Buzz and how their identity changes throughout the movie. So as we get into this, we're going to talk a little bit about identity here for the next 7-8 minutes, depending on how fast I talk. But what I want to focus on tonight is there are things in this world that affect how we see ourselves, and then there's the complete opposite of how God sees us. And sometimes that line kind of fades in and out. So I want to talk tonight, how do we pick out those moments where we know we see ourselves not how God sees us? So, I kind of want to start by looking at, and I'm going to stick with the Toy Story theme throughout this, but I want to start with kind of breaking down the individual characters, because if you look at this movie, all of us are either Woody or Buzz. And how this works is, raise your hand if you are 100% happy where you are right now and you're comfortable and you like it. And yeah, things kind of change here and there, but you like where life is at right now. You're like, yeah, this is great. Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, some of us are like that. How many of you are in a new season of life and you're unsure about, hey, maybe there's going to be some changes in here, but you're like, oh, I'm excited to, like, tackle the world now. I'm like, oh, if you're a graduating senior, this could be you. I'm ready to go at it. Both of us, both of those characters can be how we feel at different times. But what happens is we come across moments in our life that change how we see ourselves, and we're not prepared for that. We experience moments in our life where something is introduced and it totally changes our world. Woody was a happy, I'm Andy's favorite toy, I have my special spot, this is great. In comes Buzz, I'm not Andy's favorite toy anymore, and my world is completely changed. I'm Buzz Lightyear, I'm a space ranger, yeah, all these kind of like crazy looking toy things are whatever, but I'm like the real deal, I'm legit. I find out I'm a toy. What's the point? I'm insignificant. So what I want to look at, I want to give you 3 ways that we get trapped in the struggle of self-image, how we see ourselves and how it affects we see our identity. There's a couple of them. We devalue our strengths. I've seen a ton of people here tonight who do some incredible things. We've got some amazing worship leaders. We've got some amazing people who are great at I'll be honest. I hate talking to people one-on-one. If you come up and talk to me one-on-one, we can have a conversation. That's fine. But I'm getting hives the entire time. I can get up here and do this. This is no problem. But if we're talking out there, ooh, man, I cannot wait to get out of here. Just being honest with you. And if we have a conversation, we'll get past that. But it's the reality of it. But we know what our strengths are, but sometimes we take those strengths, and instead of saying, wow, here is what I have to offer the world, we bury it. We say, nobody wants this. This isn't good enough. And instead, we take this opportunity for us to reach and to glorify God and use what he's given us, and we just say, no, that's not what I'm going to do with it. The second thing is we compare ourselves to others. Boy, do we do this a lot. I did this while Eric was speaking. I was reading my thing and saying, no, I'm not going to get up there and talk. Eric did a better job. We compare ourselves to others. We look at the shiny new people who have the nice car and the job and the super hot girlfriend, and we're just like, ah, oh, man, God, what are you doing in my life? We seek empty approval. And this one is where we really find the root of our identity crisis. We look to authenticate who we are with something that's not going to last. It's perfect what Eric just said, because we take those things in our life, we put stock into my relationship with my significant other, which eventually is going to slide around. We take our relationship with our family. We take our job, and all of a sudden, that goes away, and what do we have? We seek empty approval from those around us that in the grand scheme of things are not important. So there's plenty of other ways that we take negative feedback and we let it affect us. But now I want to step back and look more at how do we shift that thinking. I'm going to give you four ways to shift that thinking. Here's what I'm not going to do, though. I'm not going to tell you how you see yourself, because ultimately that's a process that happens between you and God. You experience who you are and who God has made you to be through a series of steps. It's not an overnight thing. It's not me getting up here. It's not Talyn getting up here after me. It's not Taylor getting up here for the next couple of weeks. It's the experiential process of multiple things. But I want to give you some of those that you can dig into, real things that you can say, maybe I need to make a change in my life here. The first one is add affirmative language. And a lot of times we get so set on, if something is bad, what are the reasons why? We could go up here. I guarantee you there's plenty of people in here who have spoken before, and the one thing that they'll tell you is, ah, gosh, I did that wrong. They could have killed every other aspect. Any athlete will tell you about this. You could shoot 99% from the field in a basketball game, which would be insane, but the one thing you'll remember is that one missed shot. If we change that focus where I'm going to talk about myself and I'm going to talk about others around me, less in a way of here's what I did wrong and more here's opportunity to grow. That's affirmative language. I read an article that talked about workplace offices and how they're trying to incorporate this. And people are not using, now don't misunderstand this, people are not using the word sorry anymore. They're using the thank you. Instead, hey, thanks, Cole. I love you too. They're not using the word sorry. Instead of saying, hey, sorry I'm late, it's a, hey, thank you for waiting. It totally changes how you think. There's going to be times where you need to apologize, you need to seek forgiveness for those things. But if we think more as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to put down, it totally changes how you see yourself. The next one, surround yourself with honest people. And this touch is great on something Eric just talked about. We talk about this all the time. Taylor likes to say this phrase all the time. But if you find people in your life who are not only going to speak truth, but they're going to speak honesty into their life, it's not so much as a, here's who I am, here's who I'm stuck as. It's people encouraging you, here's who you are, here's where God can take you. And having those people in your life, you cannot do it by yourself. There's nobody out there is succeeding in life or doing something well because they are by themselves. But we isolate ourselves because we think nobody wants to be around my crap. So the last one I kind of want to touch on here, and this has kind of two pieces to it. The first, and this is the most important one out of all of this, is spend time with God. Because God is going to tell you, I read two verses already that talked about, and if you wrote those down, go back and read them later. God tells you exactly who he thinks you are. And so he's going to continue to reveal that through prayer, through reading, through conversations with others. But that's time spent investing in your relationship with God. He's going to tell you that you're his creation. You are created. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's going to tell you that you are his child. He's going to tell you that you are his ambassador. And most important, because he died on the cross, he's going to tell you that you are the most valued possession he has. You mean more to him than anything, more to him than his own son, which he sent to die for us. That's how much value you have. I want to leave you with this. There's a scene at like the end of Toy Story where they're sitting in Sid's house, and they're hanging out there, and they're depressed because Sid's going to light Buzz off on a rocket, and it's raining, which makes everybody sad. And so Buzz is sitting there, and Woody is kind of giving him this pep talk, which is funny because Woody also needed that same pep talk, but that's, you know, go watch the movie. It's crazy. But there's a part where Woody kind of turns away and Buzz sits there and he looks down and he picks up his foot and he looks up and it says Andy on it. And that's like a reoccurring theme throughout the movie too, is this idea of like, oh, Andy's name is on the bottom of his foot. But it's so crazy to think, when you think about the relationship between Andy and his toys, it's so insanely similar to our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have his name written under your foot. You can't see it because sometimes we're not looking for it. Sometimes we forget that it's there. Sometimes it gets painted over. Sometimes we need to rub it off. Sometimes we need to look for opportunities and say, I'm going to sit in the silence and remember whose name is written under my foot. I want to pray for us, but if I give you anything, it's in that title. It's that you are a cool toy. You have value. You have so much to offer what God has. He can see so far in advance for what you have, what he has planned for you. And if you take those moments to appreciate what he's already told you, then there's so much ahead of you that you can't even imagine now. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you so much for every student in this room. I hope that we take a moment this week to remind ourselves what God has done for us and who he is. We thank you. We love you. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Can we give it up for Tyler? I love it. So good.